without glasses. I was staying in the country recently when a well-meaning hand engaged in dusting my bedroom swept my glasses off the mantelpiece where I had placed them for safety. The culprit, an elderly man named Potter, his face full of kind-hearted misery, brought the fragments to the lunch table, holding them at first behind his back and saying, "I have a confession to make." My hostess offered to do her best to mend the glasses temporarily with sticking plaster, and she did her best. That is the best that can be said for her effort. I tried to read with the bandaged spectacles, but I had never read long till I was aware of a certain sagging of the frame on the bridge of the nose, and the whole thing came into again. It is impossible to read with much pleasure if one is on the lookout all the time, ready to catch the two halves of one's spectacle on their way from one's nose to the floor. As a result, I spent a miserable weekend, surrounded by books and newspapers that I wished to read. I was almost as helpless as a blind man. I tried to work out a crossword puzzle with the help of a magnifying glass, but I had to give it up in despair. It was quite impossible to read the numbers in the telephone directory. I ultimately found that it was possible to read books I already knew slowly through an eyeglass, and turned from the newspapers to Hamlet. A pretty pass, was it not, to which Potter's zeal as a duster had brought me. The inability to read with the naked eye is one of the curses attached to long sight. As a boy, I was rather vain of my long-sightedness and felt inwardly boastful when I was able to read lettering at a greater distance than anyone else in the company. Little did I know that if one can see things at a long distance in childhood, one is punished by being unable to see things at a short distance in middle age. It is only in the last year or two that I have taken to wearing reading glasses, but I suspect that I ought to have begun wearing them 20 years ago. I was actually sent to an oculist towards the end of the war in order to wear spectacles, but nothing came of it. He was a very charming man who kept making me look through various lenses and radiating lines, letters of the alphabet and so forth, and asking me, "Do you see better now?" Till, weary of saying no, I said yes in order to please him. Having procured a pair of pince-nez spectacles, I went out into the world with them, and they fell off and were shattered on the pavement. I bought another pair, and they fell off and were shattered on the study floor. I bought another pair, and they fell off and were shattered on the office stairs, concluding that the bridge of my nose was ill-built for the purpose of wearing pince-nez. I ordered a pair of glasses which could be fastened behind the ears with a sort of wire. I had not worn them for a week when I found that they were tearing my ears to pieces. I put them away in a drawer and discovered that I could read and see as well, if not better, without them. And I never wore glasses again until about 2 years ago. The punishment of long-sightedness kept creeping nearer, however. I complained more frequently of the badness of the electric light. When I read a newspaper, I had to hold it at arm's length. If only I could have stretched my arms a foot or two longer, I should probably have been able to read without spectacles to the present day. My arms would not stretch, however, and at last I was compelled to pay a second visit to an oculist. Luckily, we had all kinds of new devices for testing the sight, which made it possible for the patient to tell the truth. As a result, he provided me with a perfect pair of spectacles with tortoise-shell rims that wounded neither the nose nor the ears. To see through them was like being born into a new world. A beautiful, clear light dwelt upon the printed word, and even the small type of the sporting page became miraculously magnified. In my enthusiasm, I should have liked to put the whole human race into spectacles. Those who do not know what it is to wear spectacles for the first time have missed one of the exquisite pleasures of life. I experienced this pleasure over again this week when I got back my mended spectacles from the optician. My heart leaped up when I beheld them through something even better than a rainbow, the print of a newspaper. For some days I had been a frustrated man, unable to read comfortably anything but the headlines, compelled to pass the time, listening to wireless programs, tempted to go to films that I did not want to see, helpless except in the company of talkative friends. The truth is, a man without spectacles is only half alive. In theory, I suppose, a man ought to be able to sit down and think, but I cannot sit down and think unless I have a book in my hand. I do not need to read the book, but I need to know that I could read the book if I wish to do so. If I cannot, I am irritated, feeling cut off, an alien in the civilized world. How our ancestors endured life before the invention of spectacles, I cannot conceive. Potter reduced me to their level for a day or two.